So I'm going to start with Steve. Question four. Poverty, criminal justice, and racial disparities are primary issues everywhere in our cities. What policies would you advocate for as council member to close the gap on these specific issues that directly impact your own district?
I can't think of anything offhand, so I would collaborate with the council and task force and committees and work together to find some solutions. I don't have anything off the top of my head, so I would work with others, reach out to the community, work with different people. I believe in problem solving with teams of people and get the best answers that way.
Thank you. Whenever you're ready, Maurice.
I'm grateful for this question. This is one of the most important questions facing District 10. It's also one of the most important questions facing our city. As our city continues to grow, as we continue to diversify, one of the things that we're seeing the most of, so the only two economic demographics that are growing is households making more than $100,000 a year, households making less than $25,000 a year. And we know in our city that the folks making so much less are disproportionately people of color. So to not have any thoughts about that is unfortunate. Some of the things that I've been working on so far, in my first year on the council, we passed Ban the Box legislation to end discrimination in the hiring process within the city, and then expanded that out to contractors. So anyone working with the city now no longer has the opportunity to ask about somebody's criminal record on that first application process, which has a disproportional benefit to racial disparity in hiring. We've tripled youth employment with summer youth employment within the city, and that's something I'm going to continue to leverage because it's an evidence-based program that it's going to keep kids on track with their learning from one school year to the next. Another great program happening in the city, which I've been excited to support, is the Big Step sort of job training program that the unions put on. That's something that we're going to have to continue to invest in. I see a tremendous opportunity for us to continue to work with the unions and the Chamber of Commerce, as both of those organizations have really stepped up their commitment to racial diversity, to preparing people to be able to start their own companies, particularly in as contractors. So our city's growing. We're seeing a tremendous amount of development in our city. And as we have the opportunity to help foster minority-owned businesses to be able to get some of that work, that's a fantastic thing. We also have a food desert crisis, which I hope we get to talk about later because that's relevant to this as well.
Thank you. Just to balance it out, I'll start with Rich again for this question.
Poverty, criminal justice, racial disparities, those are all based on socioeconomic circumstances. I think poverty by itself is a big cause or relationship with the rest. I think what we really need to do is focus on eliminating the poverty. What I'd like to see is to bring the trade unions into our neighborhood, maybe set up some apprenticeship programs. I'd like to see some kind of way like encouraging or having people finish high school. I think it's very important that we get educated, that the children get educated and can go on to post high school, whether it be a trade school or an apprenticeship program. As I mentioned earlier, what I would like to also do is the community policing.
This is huge. As I said, I think for all of us sitting up here, we would represent majority and minority districts, I believe. I know ours is, I think District 10 is as well. One of the things that I have found largely working with a couple of ladies who seem to have left, Sina and Selena, who live over in the Allied area, I know that there are many, many, many really, really good people in our troubled communities. And one thing that I've learned is to particularly find the good mamas and help enable them to help raise their communities. If we put the mamas in charge, to set the tone of the behavior expectations for our neighborhood, things will start getting better. But they need that encouragement. It's not something that is just easy to take. So that's one of my main things that I end up looking at.
Start with one more,
Nick. This is a big one, which 40% of the people that live in Fitchburg are in poverty, and that is one of my main goals and focus is to not only eliminate it, but decrease it, put a big dent in it, and there's a way we can do that. When we sit down at the table and we look at, we spread money on the needs in the community. Because money is going, it's shifting, but it's not shifting to the neighborhoods that need it. And we know that the black communities, there are three, I know Mike, I'm talking about District 1, is 6,500 people in District 1, 50% white, 50% people of color, tells me what, 40% of the people are underserved, which are people of color. Criminal justice system, yeah. Police was policing black boys, they were. And I sat down with the chief and I said, we can't do this anymore. Because the city is, this community is already underserved and you're putting more pressure on the people that already don't, is not getting service from the city. Gap, yeah. Bridge the gap, we gotta bridge the gap. The bridge, we're connected. We're connecting our mayor, we're connecting the police, we're connecting the residents, the kids, we're connecting the fire chief. You know, we're getting everybody involved. We're connecting the police, because it's gonna take all of us to decrease this poverty, this criminal justice system, and help with these racial disparity issues. And when I get into, I wanna create some kitchen cabinets and have all of these different committees. I want a Hmong committee that's gonna represent the Hmong community. I want a Latino committee that's gonna represent the Latino people so I can know what they need. The white and the African-American committees. That's what we need at the table to solve these systemic problems.
I think before we address some of these issues, we need to kind of back up. We need to think about why we have some of these things. If we had people with good jobs, a good education, and affordable housing, we might not have some of these issues. And that can only happen if we have reasonable, responsible development to bring business into Fitchburg, to provide jobs that provide a living wage and provide opportunities for people to get relevant education to get them good jobs, such as the apprenticeship programs.
For the next question, I'm going to start with the middle table with Dorothy. A business moving in doesn't necessarily mean they employ our residents. What are your ideas on how to bring employment to the neighborhood citizens?
I have asked the city of Fitchburg since well before I was elected to be intentional about bringing businesses that were intentional about employing our local people. I haven't been as successful as I would like in that. One of them was Sub-Zero, is down just across PD to the south here. They were bringing 300 and some jobs that were going to be like $18 an hour. And I'm like, ooh, I have, because that's like right down the bike path from this area. And I really wanted to push for them to employ people from this area. And then we got news of Oscar Mayer is going to be closing down, and I'm like, there's some people that are going to be out of jobs that really, really, really need an opportunity to get these jobs too. We do have some of our businesses that already employ people who are kind of at-risk people, and I'm grateful for them. And if people need jobs like that, I can point those businesses out to them. But we really need, and I don't think we've mentioned that the Painters Union is going to be opening a training facility in our district. And the Knights of Columbus is also opening, or the Catholic Multicultural Center in the Knights of Columbus building, the one that had the big Jesus statue down Verona Road, is opening a training facility based around a catering service that we may be able to plug people into. So I'm always looking for opportunities to plug our people into businesses and to attract businesses that want to do that. Oh, sorry. Remember me? I asked first. I was thinking you went already.
We actually get along.
Not a problem. he's gonna help me when I'm reelected.
I'm with a comedian here. A business moving in doesn't necessarily mean they employ our residents. Why not? Why is the business moving in? There are a lot of things. When people come in, they're looking for tips, they're looking for money, they're looking for incentives to bring their business to our community. A lot, as we go, more and more of those are looking for tax-based benefits. What we should do is, when we're looking at these businesses, if we don't have some preconceived notion of what kind of business, what kind of storefront, what kind of whatever we're going to allow and what we're not going to allow. What we need to do is look at each business that's coming in and see, what are you going to do for us? Whether that be jobs, whether that be tax base, whether that be employment, basic values, goods that they're bringing. So that basically that would be it. To bring employment, get the businesses in, as we keep harping on, that the economic development is a huge part for this.
I think it is. It's going to be difficult to guarantee that people in Fitchburg get jobs just because businesses move in here. But hopefully, as the businesses that are interested, that would provide jobs, will be really encouraged to come in. I think also it would be important to let businesses know that MATC particularly has wonderful job skill programs. They'll actually even send someone in to the job site. They will help with skills, they'll help with education, they'll help with language, all kinds of things that maybe in the very beginning some of these folks would not be good employees, but with a little help they can be absolutely excellent workers.
A business moving in don't necessarily mean they employ our residents. They do not. That is something that I would like to bring to the council. Maybe unionized jobs that they can contract with the city and make sure that they tap into the 40% of the people that live in that community, get them employed with jobs. That will help with our poverty rate as well. Because there are a lot of big businesses coming down the key in District 1, and most of the people that work there come from out. They don't even live in Fitchburg. And some of the businesses like Taco Bell, we have to have little wage jobs. Taco Bell is not gonna take care of a family and a mother with three kids to try to do keep a place. Sustainability is not gonna work. But definitely contracting with the city and hold the city accountable, because see, the city needs to be accountable. The mayor and the alders that represent the district, they need to be accountable to make sure that their people in that city are being served. And that's what I'm going to do as your alder for District 1.
Thank you. So there's several important pieces that we can do here. So we need to brag on the companies that are doing a good job of this. We need to acknowledge the unique resource that exists here. We need to support business development here. And we need to think outside of the immediate confines of a neighborhood. So let me elaborate on all of those in the next 90 seconds. So Hy-Vee, when Hy-Vee came into the neighborhood, they did really a remarkable job of recruiting out of the immediate neighborhood and being a good neighborhood community partner and targeting folks that lived in Allied and Dunn's, and recognizing that, you know what, there's kids in this neighborhood who are going to be able to benefit from a great job in the neighborhood. And I personally have known some of those kids. It's made a huge difference. So bragging on folks who are doing it well is important. We need to bring businesses to the neighborhood. But when I say that, I mean, yeah, oftentimes people get it in their head that they're going to build a business in the neighborhood and don't think to themselves, oh, I should talk to the neighbors, right? So recent example of that, we know there's a tire shop going in nearby. When I heard about that, when they reached out to me and said, Alder, we'd like your blessing for this to occur, I said, well, that's not going to happen until you come sit down with the neighborhood. And so we were able to bring them in. In fact, they came up from Springfield, Illinois that day. He was the owner was, or the developer was on the road for 5 hours because he knew I was serious. You're going to get support if you come talk to the neighbors and if you start talking about how you're going to employ local residents. We also need to support economic development immediately in the neighborhood. So things like a grocery store, you know, when the neighborhood stepped up and said, we'll do that ourselves. We'll build an allied community cooperative. We can do that. We can create our own jobs. Supporting that, right? Putting a couple $100,000 in city funding to support that is going to be important to continue to do things like that. And then lastly, I'll say we need strong public transportation to this neighborhood so that we can think outside of the bounds of the restrictions of saying, well, you live in this neighborhood, you have to be able to find one of the few family supporting jobs in the neighborhood.
Thank you. I think it's important for the city council to work closely with the businesses that are coming in to ensure that the jobs that are available to the residents and that the residents have training. They can go to a two-year school, maybe get some training through there, or work with the company for on-the-job training and go that route. So I think it's really important for the city to work closely with the businesses to ensure that those jobs are available. I agree with public transportation, but if we're looking at employment in the neighborhood where the business is moving, public transportation in that neighborhood shouldn't be as important because they're already there. And if you bring public transportation there, then you're bringing in people from other neighborhoods. But public transportation is a separate subject, and it's also important because if you don't have opportunities for employment at where you do live, then you do need public transportation to reach out to those other neighborhoods. So, thank you.
Okay, we're going to start with the same table. Last question. A proposal was made to build a boardwalk on the west side of Seminole Highway between the Cannonball Trail and Capital City Trail. How would you ensure cooperation between Madison and Fitchburg to address this project? And how are you planning on coordinating resources that might benefit both cities' residents?
I'm not aware of this, so I would, again, go to my fallback is to work with the community, work with committees, work with task forces to solve those problems. I don't know, so I would reach out to others, and together we would solve this. Thank you.
So on the boardwalk specifically, this is something that I've been in communications with Fitchburg Mayor and Dorothy Krause about. This neighborhood is actually relatively rich with bike lanes. And so, you know, to be able to continue to build that out is highly desirable. I've spoken to city staff, and we're sort of in the planning phases of how we might be able to collaborate on that. Regarding how we'll work together to bring more resources, you know, that's another great example of something like addressing the food desert that exists in this neighborhood. It is, for some folks, not folks in this room, but for some folks, it's hard to imagine that a neighborhood that is less than 2 miles from like four different grocery stores is a food desert, but obviously we know it is. We recognize that as this neighborhood is one of the neighborhoods that's most dependent on public transportation, folks have a really difficult time getting access to the grocery stores nearby. So working with the neighborhood over the past couple of years to support closing the food desert is one of the examples of working together to bring resources to the neighborhood. Another great one is when I was first elected, I sat down with the Brotherhood Group, which is a group of young men that meet every Wednesday, sort of a peer mentorship group of high schoolers. And they said, you know what, one of the biggest things we want is, we want a basketball court in our neighborhood. We really want a place where we can just play and be productive and just hang out and not have to necessarily go to, you know, some other facility. And so it took a few years, but we got funding for that last year. And the boys group has actually been, again, talking about civic engagement. Those young men have been actively participating with the Parks Department to design what's going to be, if I can be honest, the best basketball court in the whole city of Madison. Allied Duns Marsh isn't used to getting the best thing first, unfortunately, but that basketball court's going to be awesome, and it's going to be where Parks Department is working. City of Madison and Fitchburg Parks Department are working together to make sure that parks surrounding that is going to be something to behold. It'll have Wi-Fi, you're right.
Okay, next we have Rich.
I also have never heard of this, but I would have a few points here. I recognize the talent that we have, the employees of the city of Fitchburg. I think we've got a lot of good minds back there, and I do rely on, they know a lot more than I do, I rely on their judgment or rely on their recommendations. I think it's a pretty cool idea, though. We have worked with Madison before. We split in our neighborhood. We have a Hegel Jamestown Park, where we have a structure, we have a skating rink, and the playgrounds. That is split as part Madison and part Fitchburg, and that's worked very well.
I know a little bit about the boardwalk. Mm-hmm. that's something that I've been arguing for a number of years. I ended up grabbing the mic when we opened the Dolly Bike Hub down there. What I want and what the problem is all the kids from Allied can go down to the marsh, either on the regular bike path or on the Apache boardwalk path that we have from Crescent. And they can go along Cannonball and they can go up Cap City. But then if you want to go the rest of the way, you have to go on Seminole Highway. So I've been arguing what we really need is a path connecting the two bike paths so people can do a complete circuit of the marsh. It's probably 45 minute or so pleasure walk. Particularly kids from Allied don't have much in the way of things to do that involve nature. I really want to give them some exposure to nature. We use the term grounded and the word is grounded for a reason. So we need to help teach that to kids.
Start with Wanda.
Yeah, I am not, I haven't read this proposal, so the pros and cons of it, but if it's a safety issue, I think it would be a awesome boardwalk as far as keeping the kids safe, walking back and forth. Also, I just wanted to say about the Allied and the King James Way neighborhood, they both sort of border each other, you know, and I see like kids, like there's a long walk across, you know, like with the kids at King James Way trying to come over to the Boys and Girls Club, you know, there's no walk that way. You know, like it would be nice to have a bridge, you know, that would make it even quicker for the kids so they don't have to go all the way around. There was a bridge built, because there's a lot of bridges being built in the city, and some of them are real close together. But I don't see a bridge coming down Verona Road. That would really help. Well, you got that big one there, but the one like where Williamsburg, Anton Drive, that would be nice to have a bridge coming. Go straight to the Boys and Girls Club.
I think maybe what they talked about is a committee to get together and discuss how to put the resources together. I think the important thing too is to ask people exactly what they want, what's going to be helpful. And then maybe there are some ways to get some nonprofits involved. They might be interested in helping out. Maybe some church groups, maybe some bicycle clubs. I know that they would probably be interested in that also. And there are even walking clubs. Maybe people would be interested in, you know, doing that for an exercise, and they would be willing to help out. The other thing is Boy Scouts. I don't know if you're familiar with the Eagle Scout project, but each boy, in order to be an Eagle Scout, must do some kind of civic project that involves a lot of hours for the boy and his troop. So there might be ways of engaging some of the Boy Scouts who are in this area that will be willing to come in for free and do some work.
Okay, now we'll just take 3 minutes each with our closing statements. So we'll just start with the table that started in the beginning.
Thank you guys again for being here. This is sort of a long event, and you guys are obviously very committed to being engaged citizens, so I want to honor you for that. I've been honored to have the opportunity to serve you for the past 4 years. I appreciate your support in the past, and I want to ask for you for your vote again on April 4th. I think that one of the really important parts of this role as alder is to be able to think holistically, both about what's most important to our city, as well as what's most important to our residents. I think my opponent and I think my opponent agrees with me about the importance of public safety in our community. This neighborhood is one of the neighborhoods that's most affected by issues related to public safety. But to have no thoughts to contribute on the issue of criminal justice is 10 steps behind even where our Madison Police Department is in terms of their tremendous commitment to community safety through community policing and through criminal justice. I have been really impressed with the opportunity, with our police force's commitment to building relationships in our community. But more importantly, I've been really impressed with our community's commitment to doing for ourselves. And so that's what I want to continue to support us in, is building a stronger community, building a healthier community, building a more vibrant community in District 10, as well as in the city. And District 10 is so much a snapshot of the city. As we think about, you know, the tremendous amount of growth that we're seeing in both the youngest population and the most elderly populations, and the diversity of this district. So I'm really excited for the work we're going to have the opportunity to do together in the next 2 years. I think that our city has a lot of work to do to live up to our own values, but this is one of the most important times in our city's history as we make this tipping point into being a city of a population of 250,000, right? In the next 2 and 4 years, it's going to be so essential for us to stand up for our values as a progressive city, to be able to fight back and be a resistance against really the ugly oppression and attacks that we're going to see from the federal government. So I know that so many of you are excited to be a part of that fight. Excited might be a hard word to use. So many of you are ready and willing to be a part of that fight, to continue to defend what makes Madison an amazing city, and to instantiate for ourselves what our legacy is going to be for that next generation as a progressive city that's leading at the forefront of a nation. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve you.
Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight. Really appreciate it. And highlight my 3 points again. I really want to listen to you. So when there are concerns and problems in the community, I can listen to you and bring those concerns to the Common Council and troubleshoot those problems for you. I think listening is one of the most important jobs that an alder can have, and that would be one of the things I would do. Public safety is also paramount to all of our lives in our community, so we would want to build that relationship with our Madison Police Department. And by doing so, when we start to trust our police, most of us do, some of us do, maybe some of us don't, but when we trust our police, we knock down the barriers that get in the way of communication and solving problems together. So I would work with the community to build that public safety, to build that public trust with our police. I would work on the emergency detention problem that's costing our taxpayers $60,000 plus a year, that's been unresolved in the last 3 years. And that leads me into Texas, where we're $613 million in the debt. It's $8 million a month that's costing us in principal and interest, that takes money out of our community because some poor spending choices made by the city council and the mayor. So I would do that as a person who's trained in lean government. I would be looking at the practices of the government to make things a little bit more lean, to eliminate waste, and we'll keep our taxes low, or at least not keep them raising, because like I said, I'm on a fixed income, and many people are in our community, and we want to keep the taxes low. We don't want to have them keep going up, so we want to limit that wasteful spending. So thank you.
And again, thanks to everyone for coming out, spending time with us tonight. A couple of things that I wanted to be sure to mention. I requested, we've got some of these for Verona residents, big decision on the Verona School Board that's going to be on Fitchburg's, or this end of Fitchburg's anyway, ballot. So you want to take a look at that. I asked one of the Verona School Board members if she could drop some off for me here, and I'm grateful that she did. I also this afternoon went to Verona Road business meeting with DOT and some of the contractors that are doing the Verona Road project, and brought back some maps of some of the work that's being done there. So there's some of those out in the hall as well. One note that I wanted to make that I missed about the marsh is the city of Madison owns the marsh, so they have to take lead on doing that project. And Fitchburg needs to cooperate with that and probably contribute financially to it. But there's also, county will be involved also. I don't know if people know that there's mountain bike paths down by the marsh as well that's readily accessible from the neighborhood. On the Allied Park that Maurice had talked about, if people don't know where that is, we've got the Boys and Girls Club, then we have the two parts of the Belmar Park, and then there's Revival Ridge next to that, across an invisible line, the difference between Madison and Fitchburg, and just south of Revival Ridge development buildings is where the Madison Park will be, and it will be more or less across from Fitchburg's Ball Diamond. So hopefully we can make that into one continuous park. We've also got a bus question in front of us for weekend service at this point. If we can make it work out, we can get service at least from Jamestown. I'm trying to talk to them about finding a way to get Belmar down to go to the splash pad, McKee Farms Park, and festivals that they have. We have never had bus access to the splash pad. I'm thinking our neighborhoods would love to have that. And the other note that I had was on lean government. We run incredibly lean already. It's really hard to find something to take money away from to be able to put it towards something else. Somewhere along the way, it used to be that the well-off people in cities would make massive contributions for building municipal buildings and churches and everything else. They seem to not do that nearly as much anymore. So they're not wanting to give up their money. So we need to do more with less, and or convince the wealthy people to not hoard quite as much money.
As Dorothy said, we are lean. We need development, economic development, to raise our tax base. 2014 Beltline environmental link study indicated that employment growth in Fitchburg of 5,700 and housing or household growth of 4,700 by 2050. We have growth all around us. We have Epic. We have, if you guys have ever been outside of Madison at rush hour, you'll see everybody flocking in and flocking out. This is sort of like the movie, if you build it, they will come. Only we have to do something because they are coming. If they're not going to come into Fitchburg, it'll be somewhere else. We need to take advantage of that. Part of this then gets into the taxes. We have a referendum coming up that's going to cost, I assume it will pass. If it doesn't pass the first time around, there'll be another and another until it does. But that's $137 a year for every $100,000 of value. So that on top, considering that, we're going to have to be very, very tight with our budgets. We're going to have to stay lean. What we want to do, what I'd like to see, is that we need to base our budget on our income. And so we want to base our, any increases on the budget or in the budget should be based on increases in the tax base. As I mentioned before, I have a background in architecture and construction, IT and project coordination. I have an extensive experience with projects, processes, and people. I've served the city of Fitchburg on 4 different commissions or committees under 5 different mayors. I am very interested in transportation. I was on Transportation Commission for up until this last spring. When the mayor wanted to run a bus back and forth on PD, I said I didn't like the idea. I thought if we're going to do that, let's go ahead and think it through, start at the beginning, we serve the schools we have here. Let's start looking at maybe a long-term solution where we're looking at whether it be acquiring land for park and rides, or maybe it's for bus transfer points. I think that we do need transportation, but we need to get a head start on this, and we don't want to just do it one little piece here and one little piece there. When things come, we want to be able to attract them, and one of the things we will need for that is the transportation. Unfortunately, what the mayor is just pushing through now is, I think it's a Sunday-only bus that goes up and down PD and goes to the seniors and the library, and essentially these places are closed on the day that they're running there. So again, what I wanted was to see the long-range plan for communication, our new transportation. Thanks.
First of all, thank you all for coming. This has been a long evening, and you're probably getting really tired of listening to us by now. And speaking of listening, I think as an elected representative, the idea is to represent everybody, and so the idea is to listen, and that's why some people have said we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we need to listen, and I am very willing to listen. And even we've discussed a lot of great issues tonight, but sometimes the things that you need to have done and you're concerned about daily are just things like the services that we are provided, fire, police, and public works, where some days maybe your garbage didn't get picked up or your street didn't get plowed. And I would welcome people to call and ask about those things. And then I could work as a conduit to some of the city offices to see that things are done the way they should be done in the city. I have an understanding of safety and well-being for our residents. And having a financial background, I think I can help bring to the city an idea of how to be more fiscally responsible, to look at budget figures and see that things are running the way they should be. We all know we need to keep the taxes down because that is getting to be a terrible problem around here, especially people who are retired and are living on a fixed income. It's very difficult, not to mention the single mothers. I was a single mother, and it's very difficult in the city to make your house payment and put food on the table and all the extra things that you have to pay for to keep the kids in school. So it's important to keep the taxes down. So I think that's about it. I would love to be your representative. Thank you.
Stand up because my leg's getting tired, but I want you to hear this real good. They say Fitchburg, we got 2 Fitchburgs, a rich Fitchburg and a poor Fitchburg. 40% of our people are in poverty. I always say this, we need 1 Fitchburg, and that's a new Fitchburg. And I'm going to be a council member. I'm going to sit at the table because I know how to problem solve. I know what it takes. I know I can work with anybody. I need all of you. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take a village to build our city. It's going to take, don't look at the color of my skin and think I'm not capable of doing the job. look at the merits in my case. I'm already working with the police department. I'm already working with the mayor. I'm already working with the fire chief. I'm already working with the families in District 1. I know what they need. And that's why I would be your best candidate, because I'm gonna bring their needs to the council so that we can address the needs, so that we don't have 40% of people in poverty, so that we can create jobs, that we can bridge the gap, that we can come together as a collaborative group of council members working together, not fighting and feuding, but really working to solve issues. People are dying, people are hurting, gunshots, people are getting killed. What are we gonna do? Do we want a new Fitchburg? I don't want a Chicago. I moved from Chicago 25 years ago. I wanna come into the council and I wanna help problem solve, help poverty. It's connected to crime. It's a way we can do it if we work together. And that's, I'm not gonna be your lying politician and tell you I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that to get elected. I'm not that lying politician. I'm already doing the work before I even ran for office. Thank you so much. Get out to vote. Vote Wanda Smith. I'm telling you, I am gonna be your best candidate for District 1, Seat 2. Have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, well, I guess we're all ready to and go home now.
Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate you guys coming over. And everybody else that came from
good job, guys.
There's some food out there. Please use it.